SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. A bright, sunny day for the start of the weekend and seems pretty inviting. Yeah. Yesterday, Tina and I, we did leave the house. We did go for a walk and something tells me she's got that. She's worked out that agenda again, but certainly the arrival or something resembling the arrival of the spring is a welcome diversion as you can just feel the light is different and hopefully it's boding well for the long term. Meanwhile, everybody still dealing with their circumstances and around the sport, everybody doing what they can and heading toward a Florida Derby day that a lot of speculation. We'll talk to Mike Welsh later. Kind of the general consensus is that they won't go beyond Saturday, but that's not all that important for our purposes today. Weekend previewing and a tremendous set of races to handicap. We'll spend the majority of the 3 hours getting opinions and part of the intrigue. There's a few different elements of tomorrow at Gulfstream that has added some added appeal. The Rainbow Six force out, so that'll get a ton of attention. And Express Bet Showdown, and the races will certainly, they'll come up later this afternoon, but $200 buy-in and 100 bankroll and 100 to the prize pool, and always the highlight of the winter contest season. So, I mean, considering all the work that you're going to do on the sequence, you know, between the multis and the rainbow, etc., might as well. Get involved and play the showdown. So, before we start talking about Saturday, a couple of crazy things. One crazy thing, I suppose. The fact that Edgar Prado had that win, had a win taken away from his Equivace total. If you hadn't seen that. After yesterday, brought it up with Steve Haskin and you know, congratulating Edgar on Wednesday's achievement, and then you got the opportunity to congratulate him again because apparently overnight there was a disqualification discovered from 2015, so. They knocked Edgar back a win, and so then he went ahead, wasn't gonna be put off, and he came back again yesterday, and he won the nightcap. So Edgar has tied Angel again. Pretty funny. Big day for Luis Saez yesterday. 5 winners on that card yesterday at. at Gulfstream. Oaklawn, too, plugged away. And the no double breeders stakes for the Arky Breds on Saturday, the feature. Yesterday, I really only watched, I only really saw one race from Oakland. So I can't give you too much of the details. Obviously the schedule that, you know, had originally seen the Arkansas Derby in 2 weeks, now delayed. And so I'm going to have to wait. There is that weekend there's still some stakes, but, the way things are going to lay out, we'll adjust, and we'll still talk to Hammer, right? I mean, still get some Hammer, now that even though he's home and away from back with the family. Today, racing-wise, Santa Anita, actually, and we'll talk to Jeff Siegel later. I'm sure Jeff has got some Gulfstream opinions. There's a very interesting Philly 7-furlong maiden race at Santa Anita today, 7:09 Eastern, 4:09 Pacific. Baffert bookending the field with As Time Goes By. This is that American Pharoah filly out of Take Charge Lady for Coolmore. And Mirneath comes back, the American Pharoah out of Flatter Me with Roses. And, you know, she's disappointed as favorite in her two starts. I mean, has run, you know, okay, but not, certainly not, you know, living up to the afternoon expectations, you know, based on everything that was going into the debut in January and then the follow-up. I mean, she got beat a nose last time and ran courageously, but Mirneath trying again. And those are the two major principles. As Time Goes By, you know, this obviously, I mean, being at a Take Charge Lady, you know, Take Charge Indy, We'll Take Charge, etc. So look forward. I look forward to actually taking the, I'll take a look at the, I'll ask Jeff too. I'm sure he's discussed the works and all that on XBTV. So, there's actually a maiden special nightcap too. The late double is two maiden events, and the eighth is a mile turf race for boys, and it seems pretty well matched. And a lot of them have run against each other, and very tricky. I'm not sure how you separate that group in the Santa Anita eighth today. And of course, that's also the, we haven't had a chance really to, maybe we'll bring it up with Johnny, maybe next week, the golden hour double, how it's making out, kind of a, you know, if it's gathering some traction. The last races at tying Santa Anita and Golden Gate, $5 double bet. Elsewhere today, Gulfstream's got a big 11 race card today, and pretty darn good. You know, there's no maiden specials on Saturday. There's one today. One for 4 and ups and one for 3-year-olds, first and the sixth. And you got a sequence of very nice allowances. 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, the late pick four, all allowance races. So plenty to keep everybody occupied. If you're playing. All right. We'll head to the break, and as we do, we'll look forward to visits with Scully. Scully's going to join us first, and Nick Tamara will be here. Mike Welch, of course. Excuse me. Jay Pridman. Jay at 10 and Welch at 11. By now, Marty is probably, he should be pulling into Louisville any minute. When I touched base with him earlier, he was in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and so what, 3 hours from home. And so we won't talk to Marty today after his winter season comes to an end. Couple of notes about New York. If you haven't seen the story, Governor Cuomo today will tour Aqueduct as well as CUNY, Staten Island, and the New York Expo Center, and the Bronx, and the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. There, in addition to the Jacob Javits Center, the sprawling West Side Exposition facility, which they're going to turn into a hospital. They're looking at these other facilities, including Aqueduct. Meanwhile, in fact, I talked to Gary this morning. Gary says everybody's holding together pretty good. Gary said, I got some scheduled workouts today. So we're everybody's doing all right. There's a total of 6 backstretch workers at Belmont. The first two, of course, were not on the grounds, but subsequently there's been 4 more positives being attended to for Corona. And, that all has to... I mean, the horseman that Gary said, we'd like to have, especially when they see others, they recognize that, the New York situation is worse than most areas, all areas. But, knowing that other facilities are being able to run a little, guys are anxious to have a plan, just to know where things, how to plan things. So Aqueduct may be pressed into service to help out in this very difficult scenario. Let's focus on a good weekend of racing, and certainly tomorrow, today too, based on that card. Good racing at Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Golden Gate, Oaklawn, Tampa, and more. James Scully starts us off. Weekend preview. Just getting going. Stay with me.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing 2-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Gold Rush, Death Cab. James Scully standing by. James, everything good? You and Gigi?
Yeah, everything's good. Staying busy at home. Steve, thanks for having me on. Hope you're doing well.
Okay. Before we start diving into the eye-crossing opportunities at Gulfstream, let's get some Louisiana Derby recapping going and start with the Derby and then touch on anything else that went well.
Well, definitely the Wells Bayou took it right to him from post number three in the Louisiana Derby. M-Line Traffic was drawn out in post 11. Modernists were in post 14. And Fallen Drew sort of floated out a little bit, going past the wire the first time towards the middle of the track to discourage M-Line Traffic, who was rushing forward from the outside. And from that point on, just really had everything his own way on the front end. We're stretching out to a mile and 3/16, so definitely that was a point of credit for him. And, you know, he's by looking at Lucky, who was the sire of Country House last year, and the female family being out of a hard-spun mare, second dam spot theatrical, Big Brown, 2008 Kentucky Derby and Preakness winners out of the, from the third dam. So a lot of pedigree there. Good-looking horse. That was only a second stake start. It's interesting because Brad Cox is talking about bringing him back in the Arkansas Derby, so that race being rescheduled, he'll have plenty of time for that race. But one of several speed horses, three-year-olds this year, Steve, I think if the Derby was, coming up in the near future, you'd definitely be looking. This would be a good year for either a stalker or a late runner because there's just a lot of up between Authentic, Nadal, Wells Bayou, Ete Indian, a lot of speedy three-year-olds this year. But a lot could change if the Derby being running, being rescheduled for early September. You know, we'll see what happens going forward. But right now, Wells Bayou, another good-looking front-running winner, had everything his own way.
What did you like in behind him? Because one horse that I've brought up in these recaps repeatedly, who just feels like he's going to be one of those that benefits from pace when there's plenty of pace assembled, was Major Fed. I mean, given the circumstance, that was a more than an okay effort.
Absolutely, and just totally unprepared for the start, sort of just like walked out of there. He was 20 yards into the race. He was still like three lengths behind the 13th place horse, so he really spotted the field, a lot of ground in the early stages, and then really proceeded to go extremely wide on the far turn and into the stretch and just motored home. And I'll say this, he made contact. I mean, he ran right by him while he was making contact, but with a couple horses in the stretch, so... He's still lightly raced, a Son of Ghost Zapper with potential to really keep moving forward for Greg Foley, a very encouraging third-place effort. I'll even mention Enforceable. He Julian Leperu was trying to get him, I thought, out of the gate in a little bit of a better position than the very tail of the field, and that horse just doesn't break from the gate very well. Got away slow. He made more of an earlier move than Major Fed and hung a little bit late in the stretch. But, you know, he's another horse. He's got a lot of stakes starts underneath him. He's the kind of horse that he could get in a major event in the future that has a highly contested pace and be a horse that could make a late impact.
Well, it's a special year for your for your Derby favorites, because you have plenty of time to
right
to build them back.
And I was on last week, and you know, with Nadal with his Rebel win. I mean, the real question with him going forward is he going to be able to turn it off? Because you know he's really on go from the start, in a sense. But he's got this air of, you know, class and talent to him that, you know, I he could get in a race eventually like Arrogate did in the Travers and just run a field off the ground like that. You have the feeling. But right now he's just so speed oriented that he's going to have to learn how to settle a little bit better going forward.
How'd the rest of the card go for you?
Well, it went pretty good because I did like Bonnie South. I was looking at that race as a race, trying to be finite with the horses that there was she and the other filly that had broken her maiden on the Risen Star undercard hadn't been running against those same horses that Finite had been. And I thought she ran a really big race for Brad Cox, a promising up and coming filly. I was encouraged to see her effort. And while Finite definitely didn't fire, had the right setup and all, she's still that money filly, very hard knocking. And, she's eligible to rebound going forward for Steve Asmussen, I think.
Anything else on the day?
No, that was really, those were the highlights of the afternoon. I was impressed by my standards, but he obviously loves Fairgrounds, having run such a big race in Louisiana Derby, but would love to see him stay healthy because, he's got a potential to come on later this year for Calhoun.
It's amazing. I think I said this to Marcus. There's every year, sometimes it's on the turf side of the older horse program, or sometimes it's on the handicap side. There's horses, Nate's Mineshaft types, that just, you know, they get on a roll at Fairgrounds, and they come back, you know, year after year for a few, you know, 2-3 years, and he was terrific. Let's turn to Saturday and Gulfstream, and James, we've got a Florida Derby that once again, much like the Fountain, ends up kind of oversubscribed with a couple of horses that probably didn't need to be involved, but so everybody will deal with it. Some thoughts about this group.
Well, this race doesn't have as much speed on paper as the Fountain of Youth did. But I'll say this, after, you know, that after the way that race shaped up with Ette Indien just running them off their feet from the start and then really catching a huge breather down the back stretch and into the far turn before drawing off to win by 8.5, I just think the other jockeys on some of these horses, be it Independence Hall, My First Grammy, Chivalry, As Seen on TV, I'm thinking they're going to be determined to not let him get away with that same kind of trip. And while Ette Indien, I think, is going to be the quickest from the gate, was eligible to get out there, I think he's eligible to catch some early mid-pressure. And that's going to set the race up for either a stalker or a late runner. It's going to be a perfect setup, I think, for Tis the Law. It's his second race back. He missed a little bit of training time, but he's come back, posted four works since early March for Barclay Tag, and just an improving race in the Holy Bull to start the year with. I will say with him, one thing I am a little concerned about is that what if he makes the lead too soon, because he's shown a little bit of a tendency to drift in, lug in the stretch when making the lead. But just it's tough for me to not see him get an ideal setup. If Tis Law doesn't do it, I like Governor Morris, because similar to Tis Law, I think Governor Morris is eligible to get a perfect stalking trip in mid-pack. Really liked his move last time in that allowance race. I thought United ran a really good race in second that day, and he's eligible to keep moving forward, obviously, for Todd Pletcher. Got solid 94 brisk speed rating and a 102 late pace number from that effort. And yeah, so you got three sons of Constitution. I like two of them in there, Tis the Law and Governor Morris.
Governor Morris is going to have to hurry up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, last time he was sitting up there close, I just think he's going to receive a little bit of a better trip in mid-pack. You know, the horses I would look at, probably not good enough to win, but I would look at them underneath. Because I think they're going to be back, like, towards, you know, 9/10 in the tail of the field. And that's Ajaweed, who really just was lethargic, I thought, in the early stages of the Sam F. Davis. But he did get on track a little bit in the stretch run past some horses. Eligible to get a good setup, like I said, if any Indian catches a little bit more pressure tomorrow. And then even Candy Tycoon, there's, you know, he doesn't look fast enough to win this race. But I do like those last two efforts. I do think he's improving for Todd Pletcher. And I liked how he rallied last time, going extremely wide to outfinish three horses for runner-up honor. So, you know, all in all, I look at both those horses underneath for exactas or trifectas.
All right. Let's back up and work our way backwards through some of the stakes.
Sure. The race right before the Florida Derby is the Appleton 1 mile race, pretty contentious race. It's a race I think a lot of people will spread. I'm not a mandatory pad on that Rainbow Six on Saturday. I landed on March to the Arch. Really thought that he's coming into good form for Mark Cassie off of that Sunshine Millions perf win and then effort last time in the Tampa Bay Stakes. Definitely going good presently. I will mention a horse that is coming back from the layoff. That I was really last fall, Steve, with Social Paranoia when he won that Dueling Ground Story. I really thought he had the potential to come on and be a really good turf horse going forward for Pletcher. He didn't win again after that race, but he broke his maiden last year in late March at Gulfstream off of a similar layoff by 8 lengths. Like I said, he earned his first stakes win last time out. He ran a close second in the Belmont Derby, so he's got some stakes experience underneath him. 10-1 on the morning line. He's a long shot to look at in the Appleton.
The Pan Am, 1.5 miles for the four and ups.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Pan American will be a big single and a lot of tickets. One thing about this 10-horse field, not a lot of early speed in there. And I think it's a situation where Pletcher and Rosario are going to take a look at the pace in this race and be like, you know, we need to send from the rail with Channel Cat. He led wire to wire last summer in the Bowling Green, going 49-4, 115-2. on the front end that day. I think he's going to get away with really slow fractions today. Just had a terrible trip last time, didn't run a step, but he turned in a solid effort too back in that Fort Lauderdale. And if anybody's going to beat Zulu Alpha, I like Channel Cat to do it wire to wire, Steve.
Zulu Alpha, of course, when you reference, those of you that have a small budget and you're going to try to tiptoe 3-5 on Zulu, who just has been, particularly down there, has just been amazing. So, but.
Yeah, I mean, and truly, I mean, even last time, it was a situation where he had run just two big back-to-back races, and I wondered if perhaps it might have taken a little starch out of him, and I thought he was wonderful that day, won by length, but, you could tell he was the winner at the top of the lane there, so really in great form now, sitting as a winner and strong for Mike Maker.
The Gulfstream Oaks.
Gulfstream Oaks, dynamite betting race, tonalist shape, inner spot for five, trying to become the second filly ever to sweep the three Kentucky Oaks qualifiers, the Forward Gal, Devona Dale, and Gulfstream Park Oaks, joining Glitter Woman in 1997. It will be her two-turn debut for this tonalist filly. I thought she ran a big race last time, wire-to-wire. No way, though, I could see her getting that similar trip. I think there's definitely going to be some speed to her inside. Going to revert to stalking tactics with Tyler Gaffleone. I like Lake Avenue. I thought Lake Avenue is going to move forward off that effort. I didn't think she had the right trip that day. She won both those. She broke her maiden and won the Demoiselle last year, wire to wire. But I didn't think those paces were. I thought she was sort of on the lead by default in both those races. Didn't have to go that fast. Came back last time and just things didn't go right at the start where I thought she was out on the lead. I think that race will, Bill Mott running her back 21 days later, getting a half mile work in her. I don't think that race took too much out of her. I think she's going to revert, like I said, to stalking tactics here and will run a lot better and is a huge threat. The other horse to beat is Spices Nice, in my opinion. A good second last time, really, looked like she may not even run second, I thought, in upper stretch, but battled back nicely to outfinish Dream Marie for the place. So definitely a filly that has a huge chance for Todd Pletcher. And then I will mention Dream Marie, just in case the pace is hot. She'll be running late, has a little bit of a look, but a second or third might be more likely for her.
The pick five starts with the Orchid.
Yeah, and that's another race that definitely pretty contentious. I thought that Mary was just dynamite last time for Grand Motion, but I do worry that Elizabeth Wayne is going to complicate her process from the outside. Both fillies, don't necessarily have to be on the lead, but they're coming off wire-to-wire wings. And I just thought the race could set up for General Ruler. If she's ready to go off the shelf for Ian Wilkes, I really like the way she was coming on last fall, winning those two stakes in Kentucky Downs and Keeneland. She's going to have to step up and beat some sharp fillies tomorrow in this race, but she's definitely one I'm going to use in the Rainbow Six, the multi-race ticket.
We talked to Ian on Wednesday, and the Sand Springs will start the Rainbow Six.
Yeah, and the Sand Springs features the return of Newspaper of Record. It's tough to know what to do with her, Steve. Chet Brown's put non-works in her. It doesn't look like that's the toughest of fields, but what complicates her setup in this field is the presence of this Jakarta on the outside, who is a speedball sprinter who's going to be, wheeling it from the starting gate with Zayas, it looks like. Now, Newspaper Record might be able to sit second like she did her debut and then just pounce. I mean, tough to totally dismiss her. But I did take a look in case the pace was pretty good at this non-horse, Angel of Mischief. I mean, she's 20-1 on morning line. It's going to be a big long shot. But she's a five-year-old daughter of Into Mischief, who's only run six times. Definitely is, I think, fit. I thought last time in that allowance race, the big favorite that day was Emollient, and she was loose on the lead. And I thought Angel of Mischief and Let Brew moved a little bit too early on the far turn. When they moved, she basically got caught, carried six or seven wide, lost some momentum. But I thought she leveled off pretty nicely. She, filly with some upside, making her third stake start. So, you know, that's my upset candidate in the Sand Springs, number nine, Angel of Mischief.
Well, the 14 race card starts at 11:30 tomorrow. Any other spots you want to include?
Well, I mean, one thing for sure, I'm definitely going to be watching that Cutler Bay, the very first stakes race. Looking forward to seeing. I think the three-year-old turf division is pretty good. Structure is getting some time off, but he's going to be back later in the year, it looks like. I think Field Pass and Invader ran 1-2, and the Jeff Ruby Stakes are going to be potentially good turf stakes horses going forward. And looking forward to seeing Decorated Invader and Mr. Hustle both return on this race. Obviously, Decorated Invader, very sharp winner, the grade one summer at Woodbine. Ran a, you know, got going too late in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but was flying at the finish to be fourth and comes back for Clement. Mr. Hustle really comes from a classy female family, ran them off their feet in a pair of poly Tepeda races and then the 6.5 furlong turf stake last year. So two really exciting horses. And Vitology's in this field as well, really a sharp winner of the Palm Beach. And he'll be rolling late for Brandon Walsh. So that should be a dynamite race to kick off the stakes action.
That's starts race four, and the multi race options. You got to pick five. It starts in the first. Pick four starts in the second. And in terms of a middle, the middle pick four, I think, starts in race seven. Yeah, 7, 8, 9, 10 is the other.
And I don't know what you thought of the House Hope, if you've had a chance to take much of a look at it. I mean, it's a very, you know, very competitive race. I think you make a case for a bunch of horses, but I sort of like Bodie Express Wire to Wire for post two. You know, got drilled last time, backed up badly, but I like the future out here. And you know, I think it's going to be a price. So
yeah,
not the toughest field.
It's kind of a hodgepodgey field. You know, it's got kind of a ragtag assortment. I didn't come up with anything there yet. I'll do that in the morning. Excellent, James. Best of luck this weekend, and stay safe, you and Gigi. And we'll do some recapping next week, and be looking ahead to Santa Anita, hopefully.
All right, thank you, Steve. Good luck. Thanks.
James Scully, everybody. James_Scully111. And, of course, James's regular contributions at the Twin Spires blog roll. Let's take a break here, and we'll head to California. Hammer is going to join us, and we'll get his take from the Odyssey, traveling home. Touch base with him as he was making his way. And I'm sure he's thrilled. Back after this, Jay Priven's going to join us, top of the hour. Nick Tamaro, Ed DeRosa, Jeff Siegel, Mike Welch. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
March 28th is Florida Derby Day, and you can compete online for a share of $30,000 in prizes. That's right, it's Express Bet Showdown time. Submit a $200 entry fee to join 60 pre-qualified Express Bet players in competition for a $10,000 first prize. Then make a live $20 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races from Gulfstream and Santa Anita. The top five players will win from $2 to $10,000. Sweep the card to earn an additional $5,000 bonus. Showdown is available to account holders only with a maximum of two entries per player. Showdown has no rake, skim, or takeout. And since competition wagers are live, players keep what they win. Visit ExpressBet.com today to register for complete details, to open an account, and to get up to a $100 bonus. Cash big online with ExpressBet Showdown, March 28th.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm all I wanna be. A walking study in demonology. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah, now you're really making it. Hey, so glad you could make it.
We're back at the races, about a little less than 20 to the top of the hour, and glad that Hammer made it home safely to California. Somehow managed to cover about 1,000 miles in 13 hours, there wasn't any reports of any incidents, Hammer, so I guess you made it scot-free.
It's good to be home, I'll tell you. Yeah, that last, seems like a month ago, a couple days ago, I looked at it, 937 miles in 13 hours, and that's averaging 72 miles an hour for 13 hours. It's pretty good. Obviously, not much traffic out there. And I was so pumped up, I told, if there was a bridge to Hawaii, I'd still be driving. I was rolling. And but anyway, safe on the highways, not too much traffic, and I feel as good as I felt in the last 3-4 weeks just being home. Even though I've been banished to the back bedroom for 3 or 4 days, it's like a luxury hotel. Believe me, it's just good to be here and know that you know, whatever goes on, I'll be with Gene and Lindsay and you know, close friends. So it's good to be here.
Nice. And, you know, from everything that, you can tell that, you know, that you left in Hot Springs, things remarkably, seem like they're okay there. There hasn't been, you know, there was real concern after the Sean Payton incident.
Well, it really tightened things up, there where, as far as, you know, restricting, really anybody from coming in except for a few group of workers, basically the racing office and a few security personnel, and started testing everybody, which was a very, very smart thing to do. I mean, everybody, including myself and every employee that comes through the door, was getting tested every day. And if you were good that day, you got an orange wristband, and if you were good the next day, you got a blue wristband, and testing even the handlers of the horses before they came over walking over for the races. And that's not only good to do, but it makes people feel confident. Like, hey, he's got the wristband on, they tested him. So try to just be a little more self-contained. And, knock on wood, the races continue on. And it's, like I said before, that the Sella family and Oaklawn Park in general is just really try and do things for the horsemen. And this shows it, just trying to keep the show going is the only track open in that region. And, for the local horsemen there, and a lot of, as tracks shut down around the country, calls coming in about trying to get some more horses in there. You'll see some horses that came from Turf Paradise as one track, but a couple calls from New York and various places that did sneak in the door. Till they got full, but the cards are. It's an amazing place. The response to the racing product there. I mean, every day is 10, 12 horse fields competitive racing, and that's going to continue on. I mentioned the other day when we talked from the road that the horsemen had a chance. I mean, a choice. Excuse me, to keep the purses the way they were. At just tremendous levels, and race for a couple weeks. And, have the nice high purses, but to only be able to go for 2-3 weeks, or take a cut, right around 30% and run till the end of the meet. And obviously, it seemed obvious to me and everyone else that they did the right thing and let's take a little cut and, for more opportunity. So, knock on wood, the meet will continue to run to May 2nd, the scheduled day, which is, obviously a big day for us, the first Saturday in May, and also took advantage of some of the situations with Keeneland deciding not to run and Churchill, moving the Derby to move some of the premier races, such as the Arkansas Derby and the Oaklawn Handicap, to closing day to stretch that out a little bit, move the Fantasy to May 1st, which is the Friday, and stretch that out a little bit, which I thought was a good thing. It just since these three-year-old races have lost their urgency, obviously, but with no Derby the first Saturday in May, there's no Kentucky Derby, there will be a Derby, the Arkansas Derby that day. So give some of those horses a chance to run back from the Louisiana Derby, even the Florida Derby, the Santa Anita Derby, gives those horses another chance to run that we're planning on running on that day anyway. So they've just done a good job keeping the show going, and just kind of hope it does keep going.
Yeah, a testament to everybody's resolve, really. How else can you characterize it? I mean, everybody recognizing the unique circumstances and the difficulties, and virtually any day that is being run is to the benefit of everybody. And
it is a testament to the tracks. And obviously if you need to shut down, you need to shut down. There's nobody's questioning that, but the opportunities being given the owners here at the tracks that are still open is fantastic. And it's great for them to, be able to run and pay some bills and keep things going here. But we're in some very uncertain times, I'm glad to have those four tracks running. And I got home yesterday, and it's like a lot of reading. And boy, looking at Saturday, looking at the Florida Derby Day card. I mean, that's pretty much our probably last super card we're going to see for a while. And I think the handle's going to be huge on that today. Just some great races put together by then, and as hinted, by some. But who knows if that's going to be the last day? But I think it's going to be bet like it might be the last day. Just some great racing going on there, and I'll have TVG on in the room, and I'll be rolling too, just like everybody else. So congratulations to them for continuing on as well. But anyway, if you wanted to go through a couple races, I did before we move on. But I'm going to turn into handicapping mode here for a little bit. It's I found a few races I liked. I that pick six seems to loom over always, and sometimes you make the mistake of just zeroing in on that. But I've found a few races earlier. I'm going to look at it. If I'm, you know, things are looking well, then maybe I will dive in. But I don't want to go crazy and just sit and wait for that. But anyway, I found a few spots early and a few horses coming back. I actually like some prices that I'll throw out, and you can, you know, talk about. But starting in the fourth race, just heard the tail end of Scully there talking about the return of Decorated Invader for Clement, and I think he's pretty good at placement coming back. Not an easy spot by any means, and of course ran a decent, a real good fourth in the Breeders' Cup, and I think it's a good spot for him. Vitology will take some money. I'm hoping to get a little bit better price on Decorated Invader, but looking at him in the fourth race. In the sixth race, the sixth, seventh, eighth, the pick three before the Rainbow Six starts. Got some interesting stuff and some interesting horses at prices to see what you think about. The House Hope, to me, that race looks wide open, and looking for a little bit of a price. I mean, I like American Tattoo a little bit to go, but I looked at old Dale Roman's Rare Form. He's got some numbers back there that fit. I don't know. I think he might be sitting on a decent one. He's 15-1. Luis Saez takes over, and I look at him to run a decent race in there. I see this race as kind of being a goofball race. I heard Scully talk about Bodie Express to take him all the way at a decent price, but I see a horse in here, you know, paying $10-$15 at least in here. I don't know what you thought or what you looked at that race, but I got a feeling that it's going to be some prices in there, and I like that. The seventh race, the Sanibel, the Sanibel Island Stakes. Walking Marrakesh looks good to me. She's my type, and Cheermeister. I'm going to probably key those three into the Sir Shackleton Stakes. Going 7/8, tricky distance there. Small price, big field, going the 7/8 distance. I don't know. I like, and this features Vekoma coming back. You know, one of those horses, I remember looking at the name here last night. I go, where do I know that name? Oh, yeah, he was one of my Derby horses last year. So George Weaver getting him back. Tricky distance to come back for the 7/8. I think he can do it. I'm not sure if he's going to get the win. I like He Hate Me a little bit from Stanley Huffbarn. I like, once again, Luis Saez taking back over. And Yorkton, this horse Yorkton, the 9 horse, got some appeal to me. Canadian horse came back, didn't run too bad in his comeback last time. He's going to be a little bit of a price. So I'm going to be playing that pick 3 leading into that, which probably will determine how much or if I dive into the Rainbow Six or not. But I like those races. I did like Lake Avenue as well in the Oaks, and then the Florida Derby. I mean, what a contest! What are the odds of this horse getting the outside post again? Ute Indian. Now, I tell you, I'm just looking at this horse. You know, we're thinking he's going to go right to the front and go on the gas again, which, you know, he may, but I don't know if this horse can rate or not. Maybe he can. And if he can kind of ease his way over a little bit and not have to go to the lead, whether that he's going to do that or not, I think he's got a little bit of a shot, but I don't see these guys in here letting him do what he did last time. SC9 TV has got some speed. The sprinter in the 2-hole, Chivalry, of course, is going to be showing some gas. So I don't think he can do what he did before. Independence Hall has some speed. But if he can raid a little bit, he might be tough. But in the whole scheme of things, everything just seems to set up for Tiz the Law if he doesn't get another goofy trip, shall we say, which sometimes he seems to get. But he looks like the class of the race. But I'm not ready to toss Ute Indian again just yet. And I like Kelly's horse, Brother Kelly on the rail with that scene on TV. So I'm real excited. You mentioned the, real quickly, the No Double at Oaklawn. The Archie Bred race, interestingly enough, the 8 of the 9 horses come from 3 races that were all 1 and 1, 10 and 1. So we know the time to beat, that's for sure. KJ's Nobility, real consistent sort. Be Tough to Beaks, the Burrell team there, the 4 horse J.E.'s Hand Me Down, just got beat a neck to one of the runners in here. It's going to be a decent price, always runs good. And then I actually looked at Santa Anita for a little bit here. It's amazing what you do when you're in a room for a while. But the Santa Ana on Saturday and the Santana on Sunday. And there's the Santana Mile was one of my favorite races that we named about 15 years ago. And I remember convincing Jay Cohen, the horn blower, that I got this new stake name and you got to play Black Magic Woman when the horses come on the track. And he looked at the name and he said, "What, Santana?" I said, "Yeah, it's after the musical group. So don't worry about it. Just do it." So he didn't know the song, unbelievably. So he learned it the night before and he came out. And I was down there buying. I go, "Come on, man, this is your chance." And it was on a Saturday. It was a big crowd. And he wheeled into a killer Black Magic Woman as they came on the track. And he got this roar from the crowd. And every year since then, "When's that Santana Mile? When's that Santana Mile?" So anyway, a nice rendition of that race. It's always been a $75,000 race. It's always been just kind of a little stake stuck in there in the middle of nowhere, but always seemed to get a horse or two that was looking for just what they're looking for here, like an improbable coming back, a Kershaw going in the other direction. I mean, just keeping his direction going. But it's good to see improbable back. Hard to believe he was favored in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, and nice horse, obviously, but perfect place for him to come back. Bob was thinking about shipping him out to the Essex a few weeks ago at Oaklawn, and if you know him, it wasn't just perfect. He was coming, and then I think I'm going to stay home. So he lands in this spot, and going to be tough to beat here. Baltus has 235 in there, but a nice card there. It's good to see Santa Anita back, so I'll concentrate on them a little bit more while they're going. But good to be home. Good to be talking racing. It's a great diversion for those of us that need one. And as usual, great to have you on the airwaves, Steve, to keep everything rolling.
Thanks, Hammer. And just glad that you're home. And take care. Be careful. And we'll just keep marching down the road here and hope that we can limp along a little bit longer, and then things will come back online slowly and steadily.
That's it. And just going from Hot Springs to Los Angeles, the much more intense non-activity, I should say, here, where people, I actually saw some lines at the grocery store, which we didn't see in Hot Springs, and so you really kind of go, this is the big time here, this is the real deal. And when Gina was telling me, we're staying in, guess what, I got no problem. I asked, I go, "Can I go in the backyard?" And so I was able to go in the backyard and do a little reading yesterday, but it's fine. Whatever they want, whatever they think is the best way to get over this thing, I'm in. So you're not going to hear any complaints from me. And I tell you what, haven't heard any complaints from anybody staying in and doing what they got to do. So we can beat it, and let's just have a little entertainment along the way if we can. So thanks again for your unwavering presence on the air to keep things going, Steve.
Hammer, thank you. And we'll catch up over the weekend, I'm sure, as well. And Rick Hammerly, everybody. And Rick will also keep the Oaklawn news and info coming through the end of the meet as well. And now we can also get him, now that he's back home, he probably get a couple of things that on the pulse as well back in California. Top of the hour is here, and we're an hour in. We got two to come. Jay Privman is going to join us, so we'll stay in California. Have Jay join us. Nick Tamaro as well this hour, and Eddie DeRosa. And we'll do a little Derby watch with Jay. And then later, Mike Welch. Start to look at those Clocker tidbits and get some opinions from Mike. And see if he's got further news about whether Saturday is indeed tomorrow, the last day of racing at Gulfstream. We'll see. Back after this, hour two at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization.